Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
All right, if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to be studying. We are in the series First Church, and before we get there, I want to kind of set the premise this morning, and I didn't intend to do this, but my first question in here is, have you ever found yourself in one of those moments where you were put on the spot, Pastor Carly, just a moment ago, and that never happens, right? How many know what I'm talking? Have you ever been in one of those moments where all of a sudden all eyes are on you, and you didn't ask for that moment? Hello? You didn't ask for that situation to play out like it did, but you look around the room or you look around wherever you're at and you realize, wow, I have everybody's attention. And sometimes it can make us feel awkward. It can make us feel a little uncomfortable. But it's one of those situations where we are called out. Maybe it's to ask a question to which you were expected to give an answer. I'll never forget one day in college. I'm going to tell on myself for just a moment. Is that okay? At CBC, and I was putting in a pretty rough schedule. During my Bible college days, I was going to school full-time, and so I was in class at 7 a.m., and then I'd go to class till about 12:30 every day, and then I'd turn around and go to my workplace, to which I would work from 1 o'clock to 11 o'clock every day, and then I would do my homework with the coffee pot in one corner and my books in the other, you know, because that was the only way I was going to stay awake. So there were some days where I might have been, you know, doing that sleepy head nod during class. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'll never forget, I kind of spaced out. And I honestly, church, I don't know how long a time period it was, but I'd kind of spaced out. And in my notes, it was awesome. You see this pencil line where I'm writing my notes and it just goes, ugh. And when I finally kind of got my, I look up and the instructor's like in this dead stare. I mean, he's looking at me. And I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear the question." He goes, "I didn't ask you a question." I'm like, "Okay, I'm done." it's awkward, you know. Those moments are not much fun. But we're going to look at how God is going to use a moment like this, where two men are put on the spot. And we're going to talk about a topic today that is very much a part of the early church, as we're in the book of Acts and we're looking at the things that the early church were doing and kind of the pattern that God had established in there. Today we're going to look at spiritual boldness. Spiritual boldness. What does it mean to be bold? Defined, boldness is a willingness to take risks, to act innovatively, with confidence or courage. And so a question for you to think about here as we continue on. What are some things that you are confident of today? In what ways are you willing to act courageously? Again, with 4th of July coming up, I'm glad for those who courageously stepped on that battlefield to secure our freedom and to protect our freedom. But in what ways are you willing to act courageously? Boldness is a willingness to step up, not step out. That moment when I was in the classroom, I desperately wanted to step out. How many know what I'm talking about? Come on. It's an awkward situation, and maybe even somebody says that, awkward, right? You know, and I'm gone, you know. But boldness is willing to step up instead of stepping out. It is a willingness to stand, even if all others around you decide to fall back. And what is it today that we are standing for? There's a lot of things in life that we can stand for, but for church, can I just encourage you? The number one thing we need to stand for as Christians is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If there was ever a message that our life needs to proclaim, that we make a priority of our existence, it is that message, the gospel, that Christ gave his life so that we could be forgiven of all sin, that when we call upon his name, we experience said forgiveness, and eternal life becomes our new hope after we take our last breath. Amen. When it comes to our faith, I want us to understand as well that boldness is not something that we have to do alone. It is a confidence, a courage that is given to us through a now available gift that the Father had promised. And we'll unpack that here in just a moment. But I want us to understand this morning that the church is called, is commissioned by God to be God's bold light in a world of darkness. But what does that look like? What does that sound like? How do we, the church, boldly stand for the gospel in a world that is becoming increasingly more hostile toward God? And I want us to understand something as we kind of ponder that thought, that this challenge is not something new to the church today. This is a challenge that the church has faced since it began in its existence. Persecution was very real in this day. In fact, very much more severe than what we face here in our nation. I know that there are places where, and I mentioned before, where churches have to be underground if they get caught in their services, or if they get caught even owning a Bible. It could mean jail time. It can mean severe persecution. In some situations, it could even mean death. But people still believe. People still believe. Our text today will show us what can happen when we choose to be bold for Jesus Christ. And why do we need to be bold for Jesus? Because He is the answer to the world's problems. He is the answer. Hello? To the world's problems. We're going to look at how boldness, specifically spiritual boldness, because how many know we can be bold but not spiritual? Hello? We can be bold, but that boldness may have nothing to do with God. Hello? I've seen some pretty silly things done in the name of God that had nothing to do with God. Because listen, if you have to compromise His message with your method, you're off base. Amen. Another sermon, another time, but I'm talking about a boldness that glorifies the name of Jesus. Amen. Hello? Boldness needs to make a comeback. The enemy wants nothing to do but shut down your Christian influence. He wants to silence your testimony. He wants to lead you to a position of passivity, a position of apathy, a position of indifference. Why? Because these things don't threaten His pattern to steal and to kill and destroy. But when a church is bold for Jesus, when a church who is on fire with the Holy Spirit begins to invade a community that is lost and is dark, listen to me, the enemy gets scared. Why? Because he knows that his days are numbered. He knows that his influence is about to come to an end. Why? Because when his light comes into contact with the enemy's darkness, the darkness has to flee. Amen. We need boldness to come back. A revival, if you will, of boldness. So let's set the stage. A lot had been going on in the temple courts. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the story of the beggar at the temple gate called Beautiful, and we had a message of how God sees the beauty through the brokenness, that here lie this beggar who had been placed there pretty well every day of his life to beg for resources. His friends would carry him there, and that is where he would be. Why? Because at that particular time in the day, it was a busy, you know, coming and going of people, coming at the time of prayer, and so he was hoping for a handout. But what he got instead was a healing. Praise God. As Peter and John walk in and they see this man lying there, and again, let's put some historical context here. This is after Christ has died on the cross, resurrected from the grave, and has now ascended into heaven. This is after the first baptism of the Holy Spirit. These are key things that are important to what took place on this particular day. Why? Because it is likely that Peter and John have walked past this beggar before. Well, how can you make that conclusion? Because these guys frequented the temple, and it's likely that this man was here, but this day would be different. Amen. And as they walk by this guy, here's a whole freebie for you when it comes to boldness. They see him, and they realize they don't have what he's asking for. They don't have silver or gold, and they make that clear to the beggar. But what do they say? What we do have, I give to you. Now get up and walk. You talk about boldness, okay? That's bold step number one. But what's bold step number two is reaching your hand down to pick a brother up and to put him back on his feet, something he had never done in his life. 40 years old, the scriptures tell us that this guy was. They reach down, his ankles are made strong, his feet come into alignment, and he begins to walk. Not only walk, church, if you look at the scriptures in Acts chapter 3, he begins to jump, he begins to make a scene. And wouldn't you? Never walked before in his life, never had that feeling of what it felt like to be able to do this. I bet he even moonwalked. I don't know. Just making sure you're still with me. Hang on. Are you following me, though? Have you seen these videos? They've been going around Facebook quite a while of these babies or these children who've never heard before. There's some new ones coming out now where their vision was very blurry, and they get their first pair of glasses, corrective lenses, or their first hearing aid, and that sense is restored. How many have seen these videos that I'm talking? If you haven't, go to YouTube. Just bring a box of tissues with you. I'm warning you right now. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. And they turn that hearing aid on, and these babies could be 6 weeks. I mean, they're little, and all of a sudden the crying stops because they're like, and their eyes are open, and they begin to smile, and you can hear the parents just break as they realize the baby's reality just changed. And the baby can't help but smile. And every once in a while, sometimes there'll be a video where the child will make some noises and they're like, oh, cool, because they can hear themselves. And you see this time of rejoicing. Listen, this crippled man is in a season of rejoicing. He's in a moment where he is celebrating what God has just done. Now, everybody knew who this guy was. They had seen this guy before, the public that was there with him. And they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And they looked at this guy with amazement as he held on to Peter and John as they walked into the temple. This once crippled man now walking on his own. And Peter realizes he had the attention of the crowd. Peter realizes that there was an opportunity before them, and now these two men had a choice. They could address the crowd with spirit-filled boldness, or they could continue to walk about and be about their business and miss a potential God moment. And the rest of Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 tell us the story of what results from their choosing to be bold. Let's look at this morning, and we're going to pull from it three truths today. Truth number one is that spiritual boldness, and we kind of hit on this, but I'm going to hit on this again. Spiritual boldness points people to Jesus. Spiritual boldness points people to Jesus. I'm going to get on a soapbox, and then I'm going to get right off this soapbox. Promise you. Social media is a dangerous thing. Amen. Especially when it comes to our testimony for Christ. And I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not just speaking, I'm speaking in broad terms, okay? I'm not trying to pick on anything. Where posts will be made and Christians respond to said post with atrocious language, with atrocious attitudes, thinking that that's going to point people to Jesus. That's not boldness, church. Not what we're looking for today. In fact, I think that when those type of things happen, the enemy just sits back and says, man, you're making this easy for me. Let's be real. Okay, I just made like half of you mad or something. I don't know. Come on, let's be real. If we want to point people to Jesus, we've got to be Christ-like, friends. We've got to express His love. And not one time in His ministry on earth did Jesus ever come out and begin to point a finger of condemnation or point a finger of judgment. He came to love on those who were lost. Now listen to me. There is coming a day when this entire world will be judged, including every one of us in this room. But aren't you glad for this season where Christ has given us this opportunity to get to know Him, experience His grace, and be set free? Boldness, spiritual boldness, point people to Jesus. And in this opportunity, that's exactly what Peter does. Let's look at verse 12 of Acts chapter 3. This is what he says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus." Remember that name we were talking about just a moment ago? "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can see." Drop the mic. There was no denying what had just happened. Those that were in the temple see this man who was once lame now walking and jumping in the temple courts. And Peter and John, they don't use this moment to make a name for themselves. They don't use this moment to try to broadcast anything else but Jesus Christ. They go on in their sermon, if you will. They go on in their message. And church, the result of what happens is amazing. Turn over to chapter 4. Look at verse 4. It says, "Many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Remember, at the end of Acts chapter 2, there is a record given there after the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens for the first time. Peter gives an address to the crowd because the crowd is wondering, okay, what just happened? And so Peter talks to them and guides them through Scripture, uses a prophecy out of Joel and proclaims boldly what God had just done. And at the end of that chapter, it said 3,000 had come to know Christ. And so this is an additional 2,000 that have now come to know him. And again, look at what the text says. It says the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So it is likely that number was larger than that. But in one act of boldness, Scripture records 2,000 people came to know Jesus. That's pretty cool. And I bring this to our attention because I never want us to underestimate what your stance for Christ can do. When the gospel comes into contact with a broken world, church, listen to me. When the gospel comes into contact with a broken world, expect God to move in mighty ways. There's another thing that begins to happen. I want to point out, stay in chapter 4, back up to verse 1. We just saw 2,000 people come to know the Lord. There's another result of what happens for their spiritual boldness. It says, "The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." Look at verse 3. "They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day." Hallelujah! Oh, time out, Pastor. Now, wait a second. I'm on board with the 2,000 getting saved. A night in jail. Hey, no. Check, please. They didn't like the message. They didn't like what was going on, and so they tried to silence their boldness. But here's something about spiritual boldness. One thing that I have learned is that spiritual boldness points people to Jesus. But spiritual boldness is also something that is not easily silenced. This is meant to be an act of discouragement. How many would be discouraged if you got thrown in prison today? I'd probably be in the corner in my orange jumpsuit, you know, whimpering like a little puppy dog. I don't know. Never been there, don't want to. Anyway, Here's the thing. This is an act of the enemy coming against these guys, trying to discourage them. So how is Peter and John going to respond in this situation? Spiritual boldness is not easily silenced. Look at verse 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. Have you ever been in I know I keep stopping for questions, but where you ask the wrong question, you kind of open the door wide open for it. You know, it's like, well, I just walked into that one. Look at this. Look, this is classic. I love this. By what power or what name did you do this? It's like they gave Peter another microphone and another pulpit and said, come on, brother, preach it again. And that's exactly what happens. But look at what verse 8 points out. Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And then Peter begins to preach again. Peter would not be silenced. And it is revealed to us why. Because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something from experience? Is that once that fire gets in you, it's got to come out of you. Hello? Once that fire gets in you, once that spirit baptism happens, once that Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart, man, you become, it's like Rocky for Jesus, man. You're like, come on, enemy, what you got? You know, I have a tiger, whatever. Y'all are just acting a little bit sleepy, so the sleepier you get, the crazier I get. So just stay with me. Stay with me. Food smelling good. Amen. We got 10 minutes. Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter wasn't acting on his own power and strength. He had been empowered by the Spirit of God. And I want you to take a moment this week, and I want you to read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 if you want to learn more about what that baptism of the Spirit looks like. I'm a guy that likes to go back to origin stories. I like to look at when things happen and begin to study that and begin to establish spiritual patterns from these type of things. But read those two chapters, and you will see that Christ makes it clear to his disciples that this power that is given to us from on high, the gift that the Father has promised, is given to us for a purpose, on purpose, and that is to be his witnesses. Man. Now, what is a witness? Any Judge Judy fans out there? They don't keep me here because I'm beautiful. They keep me here because I'm smart. You know, this judge, have you heard this, yep, lady? Okay. Court scenes, courtrooms, these things are on television and we know what it is. What does it mean to be a witness? Yeah. It means we're given that opportunity to testify. And I'm not trying to be silly with that. The Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us to be his witness, to give testimony of his love, of his power, of his forgiveness, of his mercy, of his grace, of his comfort, of his provision, of his healing, and of his glorious return. Something the enemy wants to silence in you today. And mark my word, he will try to put obstacles in your path. It may not be prison, but it might be a car breaking down at this absolute worst time. It might be a month where there's more month than money. How many know what I'm talking about today? It might be something to try to get in your way and to discourage you and to keep your spiritual boldness on the down low. Why? Because the enemy is afraid of you, church. The enemy knows what kind of power is living in you, and he wants to put that thing in a capsule and bury you in the ground. Not on my watch, devil. Not on my watch. Why? Because we have a heartland. We have a community. We have Phillipsburg. We have Kerwin. We have Kensington. We have Egra. We have Norton. We have Smith Center. We have the towns in Nebraska. I don't know all their names yet. Bear with me. But we have these communities today that are counting on this church. Boldness. Boldness cannot be silenced. Cannot be silenced. And here's the other thing our passage reveals to us before I lose my voice. Spiritual boldness is contagious. Amen. Spiritual boldness is contagious. Peter and John, they're released. Why? They were arrested for this message. But these guys, the Sanhedrin, they couldn't deny what had happened. And if you look at Scripture, the crippled man was with them as they stood trial. They couldn't deny that this guy had been. They'd seen him. They knew he was there. In fact, they probably saw him as a nuisance. They probably saw this guy as a problem. He's at the gate called Beautiful again. When are we going to do something about this guy? God had other plans. God had other plans. The spiritual boldness is contagious. Peter and John, they're released. The authorities, they see the man had been healed. There wasn't anything they could do but let him go. And Peter and John give a report of what happened to the people. Remember, there's now 2,000 new believers that just watched these guys get hauled off in chains. Okay? So they give a report of what had happened and why they had been released. And I want you to look at this, verse 29. We're going to wrap up with this, of Acts chapter 4. They began to pray, and look at the words of their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats. You see what's going on, God. Consider their threats and enable your servants, what? To speak your word with great boldness. The church doesn't go into this like, woe is me attitude. Oh, what are we going to do? They took Peter and they took John. I'm going to get on Facebook and diary my life. They don't go into this sheltered, abused mentality. They go into war with the enemy. And they say, okay, devil, you're going to draw the battle line. We're coming at you. Give your servants, enable your servants. I'm pointing to the back screen. I guess I should point up here. Enable your servants to speak your word. Your word. Not my word. Not my opinion. Not my agenda. Not what I think should be said. Your word with great boldness. Complacency doesn't win the day. Disappointment wasn't going to win the day. Discouragement wasn't going to win the day. Negative talk wasn't going to win the day. God was on the move, and the church desired to boldly move with him. And does God answer their prayer? Oh, you better believe it. Look at verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Look at this. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and did what? Spoke the word of God boldly. Leanne, if I could get your assistance on the keyboard as we close up today. What we see happen in this is we see an army rising up. An army that is empowered by the Holy Spirit that spoke the word of God boldly. Boldness had overtaken the passivity and the indifference of the people, and the early church became a missional force for Jesus. A force to be reckoned with. A force that was determined to fulfill that commission that Jesus had placed before them. Listen to me. I when I think of incarceration and when I think of jail time, I think of that as a pretty discouraging thing. But what this church does is they look at this and they say, oh yeah, Satan, you think you're big? You think you're going to shut down our influence? You think you're going to silence our faith? No, we stand in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ. You are going down, devil. You can put me in chains. You can put me in prison. You can take away the fancy things I have in this life. But one thing you will never take away is my faith. And I will speak boldly of my faith every day. I will speak boldly of my life in Christ every day. You cannot win this, devil. Because the battle has already been won. Somebody give him praise in this place today. Hallelujah. Boldness. Spiritual boldness. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place today. I want us to know that Jesus is the Word. Why is this pastor, why is this preacher so fired up? Why is why are you jumping up and down and stomping your feet and acting crazy on stage? Listen, because there's a fire in my bones that has been placed there by the Holy Spirit that is burning right now for souls, that is burning right now for the broken, that it's got a message that I just can't keep contained. What is that message? That Jesus saves. That Jesus saves. Are you in a financial hardship? Jesus saves. Are you in a physical hardship today? Jesus saves. Are you in a sin-ridden spiritual situation? Jesus saves. We don't have to come to Him perfect and cleaned up and ready to go. No, His Spirit, His life, His love, He does all the cleaning. He does all the saving. We just got to come and surrender to Him today and say, Jesus, save me. Save me.